Welcome to another deep dive with us. Today we're going to be looking at this new novel that's been making some noise,
Yeah.
The Virtue of Vices. And you know what's interesting about it?
What's that?
Well, it's actually designed so that you can read the chapters in any order you want.
Really?
I know. Crazy, right? For a novel. I
Yeah.
mean, it seems like a pretty wild concept.
Well, what's really cool about it is each chapter focuses on like a different vice. So,
True.
addiction, lust, materialism, all that good stuff.
So, almost like it's like a series of interconnected short stories all
Exactly.
taking place in this world of White River City.
Exactly.
So, it's almost like the table of contents reads like, a morality play or something like that.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting too is the setting,
Oh, yeah.
White River City.
What about it?
It's a struggling Rust Belt town.
Oh,
You
yeah,
know,
I see.
there are all these excerpts that hint at job losses and closed factories,
Okay.
this economic anxiety that kind of hangs over the whole community.
Yeah. It makes you wonder how this kind of backdrop might fuel the vices that we're going to encounter in this book.
Yeah, we've got this recurring location too, the Beanstalk Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm already kind of picturing it in my head.
What do you see?
Kind of like this dimly lit, diner
Yeah.
filled with characters that are, nursing their secrets and their coffee and,
Yeah, it's like that central hub where
Yeah.
everybody comes together. It's a
Yeah.
really smart way to bring all the characters together, don't you think?
Yeah, I like that.
And the Beanstalk Cafe could act as this kind of microcosm of White River City itself.
Oh, how so?
Well, you've got, cops grabbing a late night coffee after a long shift.
Sure.
Maybe some of the wealthier Prinsmore family stopping in for a quick bite.
Okay.
And then folks like Reggie, the activist,
Yeah.
who's trying to hold on to his little piece of the city.
I like it. And speaking of cops, we've got Officer Carroll, who
Yeah.
sounds like a real character.
He's got this partner that he refers to as his fat, piss-poor excuse for a partner.
Oh, wow.
He seems to love his whiskey a little too much,
Oh.
and he just seems to stumble from one ridiculous situation to the next.
Oh, man.
I feel like we're going to get a healthy dose of, dark humor
Yeah.
with his character.
It's interesting because you also get this glimpse into the reality of police work.
Okay.
The stress, the long nights,
Yeah.
and maybe some not so healthy coping mechanisms.
Sure.
But it's presented with this wit and a little bit of absurdity.
Yeah.
I wonder if the author is using Officer Carroll to maybe make a larger commentary on like the pressures of law enforcement,
Interesting.
especially in a town like White River City where everything seems to be falling apart.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the Prinsmores,
Right.
this wealthy family.
Elite.
Yeah, and they just hold a lot of power in White River City.
Oh, yeah.
They even clash with characters like Reggie, who refuses to sell his property to them.
That's right.
So you've got this,
That power dynamic is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you think about the impact of wealth and influence, especially in a town that is facing so much economic hardship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Prinsmores almost represent a different kind of vice,
Okay.
maybe materialism,
Okay.
or even the dangers of unchecked power.
Yeah, I like that. And we also have Nick Stone,
Yeah.
this college student who
Right.
seems to have it out for the system.
Yeah, he wants to take the whole thing down.
Yeah.
What's interesting about him is his backstory.
Oh, tell me more.
Seems very mysterious, especially his connection to the Prinsmore family.
Oh, really? So he's connected to them somehow.
Yes.
Okay.
And it seems like it might be more complicated than it appears at first glance.
Oh, wow. So that's like a setup for some serious internal conflict right there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, on the
Yeah.
one hand, he wants to dismantle these power structures, but on the other hand, he's tied to the very family that embodies that power. So what does that say about his motivations?
Yeah.
How will he navigate those contradicting forces?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And then we have these other characters like Dan,
Oh, yeah.
who's a self-proclaimed prime rib
I
enthusiast.
love that.
I know. And then Cameron, a
Yes.
stripper with dreams of Olympic
Yes.
glory.
Wow, what a diverse cast of
I
characters.
know, right? Feels like the author is really trying to paint this vivid picture
Yeah.
of White River City
Yeah.
filled with all these everyday people that have these big dreams and hidden
And
struggle
their own unique
and
vices.
their own unique vices. Yeah, I like that. But how do we make sense of all of this?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, especially if we're able to just jump around between all these chapters.
I mean, that's the exciting part.
Okay.
Imagine you start with Officer Carroll's struggles with addiction.
Okay.
And then you jump to the Prince Moore's lavish lifestyle.
Gotcha.
You're experiencing these contrasting worlds.
Yeah.
These different faces of vice in a way that a linear narrative wouldn't really allow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting.
You're getting this really fragmented but also interconnected view of this city and its vices.
So you're saying that the order we choose to read the chapters in could actually change how we perceive the story.
Absolutely. How we understand the impact of these vices on the characters.
Wow.
And maybe even on White River City itself.
That's really cool. It's like the author is giving us the pieces of a puzzle.
Yes.
And just letting us decide how we want to put it together.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
You're in control of the narrative in a lot of ways.
That's really neat. I'm hooked. I want to hear more about these characters.
Yeah.
And how their stories unfold.
Absolutely.
So where do we go from here? What else can we explore without, you know, giving too much away?
Well, let's see. There are these hints about Nick Stone's family history.
Oh, yeah.
It's really mysterious.
Okay.
It's mentioned that his connection to the Prince Moores might be even more complicated than it seems.
Wow.
So imagine, like, you uncover that layer after you've already seen Prince Moore's through the lens of Reggie's struggle against them.
Right.
Like, your whole understanding of Nick's motives could just shift.
Yeah, that would totally change things.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how this whole choose your own adventure style allows you to kind of layer those revelations and perspectives.
Yeah, it's like you're building your own unique version of the story as you go.
Precisely.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, though, what would be like the most impactful order to read the chapters in?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, what if you started with a lighter vice? Would the darker ones hit harder later?
Yeah.
Or would jumping between the extremes like create this more jarring,
interesting,
unsettling experience?
Yeah, the author's really playing with the reader's emotions here.
Yeah, he really is. It's like, this isn't just a story, it's an experience. Speaking of experience, though, we haven't talked much about the whole music motif that keeps popping up.
Oh, yeah, the music. It's everywhere.
Like, what do you make of it all?
Well, it seems like music is woven into the very fabric of White River City.
Yeah.
I mean, from the mentions of this band, Caleb Brown and the Skunk Monkeys.
I love that name.
To, like, the characters listening to their own personal soundtracks.
Right.
Music is, like, everywhere.
Yeah, it's almost like each character's taste in music kind of reflects their worldview.
Absolutely.
You know, like where they fit in the city.
I think you're right.
And it could be a way to explore, you know, the different subcultures.
Yeah.
The different generations.
The generation gap.
Yeah. You've got Laurie, this teenager who's obsessed with this boy band.
Right.
And then you've got Reggie, who seems stuck in the music of his youth.
Yeah. It's like the novel is playing a symphony of vices.
I love that.
And music is like the conductor guiding us through.
That's beautiful.
The emotional highs and lows of the story.
Yeah. And the best part is we get to choose which movement we experience next.
Exactly.
So if you were to create like a playlist for The Virtue of Vices, what kind of music would you choose for each chapter?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a tough one.
Maybe something gritty and bluesy for Officer Carroll's chapters.
Oh, yeah, that fits.
Something opulent and orchestral for the Prince Moores.
Ooh, I like that.
And for Nick Stone, maybe some rebellious punk rock to reflect his anti-establishment views.
That's perfect. Each reader could, like, create their own soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, adding another layer of personal interpretation.
That's a really cool idea.
To the story.
But let's not get too carried away with the music.
Right.
What about the actual structure of reading this novel?
Yeah.
Does this whole choose-your-own-adventure aspect enhance the story?
Yeah.
Or does it take away from the author's carefully crafted narrative?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it just depends on the reader.
I agree.
You know, some people might find it liberating to be able to explore the novel on their own terms.
Yeah, a chance to really make it their own.
But then others might find it frustrating.
Sure.
You know, this disruption of the traditional flow of storytelling.
Yeah, like it breaks the immersion.
Right.
I wonder if the author is intentionally playing with that tension.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, is he challenging our idea of what a novel should be? Is he giving the power back to the reader?
Yeah, it's definitely a bold move.
It is.
And it makes me think about the whole idea of authorship.
Oh, how so?
Like, is the author the only one who creates the story?
Yeah.
Or does the reader also play a role
Interesting.
In shaping the meaning?
I mean, the novel itself might be exploring that very question.
Oh, wow.
By giving us the power to choose the order of the chapters. Mm-hmm. He's essentially saying, here are the ingredients. Yeah. You get to decide how to bake the cake.
I love that analogy.
It's your story.
But it also makes me wonder, if everyone is reading the chapters in a different order, are we even experiencing the same story?
That's a great point. Yeah. And it kind of ties back into the central theme of the novel.
What's that?
The interconnectedness of vices.
Okay.
Perhaps the order we choose to explore them in actually reveals more about ourselves
right.
than about the story itself.
Whoa. Yeah. So it's not just reflecting the vices of the characters,
mm-hmm.
but it's also reflecting the biases and choices of the reader.
Exactly.
Oh, that's meta.
It is pretty meta.
I like it.
It makes it even more important to think critically about why we're drawn to certain chapters first.
Yeah.
What does that say about our own values,
right.
yeah. our own perceptions of vice?
So the act of reading this novel
yes.
becomes yeah. an act of self-reflection.
I like that.
Like, we're not just passively consuming a story.
Yeah.
We're actively engaging with it, shaping it with our choices.
You got it.
That's awesome.
That's what makes the virtue of vices so unique and thought-provoking. It demands your participation.
Right.
Your interpretation. Your own personal journey through this labyrinth of vice.
I love it.
I think it demands your participation. Yeah, your interpretation, your own journey through this labyrinth of vice. It's really cool.
But let's not lose sight of the characters.
Of course not.
You know, we've got Officer Carroll grappling with addiction.
Right.
The Prince Moors navigating the complexities of wealth and power.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Stone wrestling with his ideals.
Yeah.
And all these other individuals just trying to find their place in this town that's struggling.
Yeah.
So what happens to them?
Well,
how do their stories intersect?
Remember, we're trying to keep this spoiler free.
Right, of course.
But let me just say this. The novel doesn't shy away from exploring the consequences of vice.
Ooh, that sounds intense.
It gets pretty heavy.
So we can expect some drama, some heartache, maybe even some redemption.
You can expect a roller coaster of emotions.
Wow.
You'll find yourself laughing one moment and then gasping in shock the next.
Okay.
And by the end, you might just have a whole new perspective on the human condition.
Okay, now I'm even more intrigued.
Good.
What else can you tell us about the novel without, you know, ruining the surprises?
Well, I think it's important to note that even though the novel deals with some dark themes,
mm-hmm.
it also has moments of humor,
okay.
warmth, and even hope.
That's good to know.
It's not all doom and gloom.
I was starting to worry that it might be too heavy, you know?
No.
Okay, so there's a balance.
There's a balance.
Between the darkness and the light.
Exactly. And that balance is what makes it so relatable.
Yeah.
It reminds us that even in the face of vice, there's always the potential for redemption, mm-hmm. for growth, for finding meaning in the chaos.
I'm officially hooked. I need to get my hands on this book and start exploring all its twisted paths.
I think you should.
But before we wrap up, I have one final question for you.
Okay.
What's like the one piece of advice you would give to someone who's about to embark on their own deep dive into the virtue of vices?
I would say embrace the uniqueness of this reading experience. Don't try to force the novel into a traditional structure.
Yeah.
Let yourself get swept up in the current of the narrative,
yeah.
wherever it takes you.
Okay, so surrender to the chaos and see where it leads.
Exactly.
That sounds like my kind of reading experience.
And remember, each chapter, each vice you encounter, mm. it's like a brushstroke on a canvas.
Okay.
It's up to you, the reader, to step back and see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
The masterpiece that emerges from those individual choices.
Such a beautiful way to think about it.
It's like we're not just reading the novel, we're co-creating it alongside the author.
Yeah, I love that idea.
And that's where the real magic lies.
Where's that?
The virtue of vices isn't just a story, it's an invitation to a conversation.
Oh.
A dialogue between the author, the characters, and you, the reader.
It's like we're all gathered around a virtual campfire.
Yeah.
Sharing stories and insights.
I love that.
Each adding our own spark to the conversation.
And in that sharing, in that exchange of perspectives, we might just discover something profound about ourselves.
Oh, wow.
About the nature of vice and about the enduring power of storytelling.
That's really beautiful.
So as we wrap up this deep dive.
Yes.
What's one thing you hope listeners will take away from our conversation about the virtue of vices?
You know, I hope they'll be intrigued by this unconventional approach to storytelling.
Yeah.
That they'll be eager to dive into this world of White River City
mm-hmm.
and explore, you know, the complexities of human nature through this lens of vice.
I like that.
And most importantly, I hope they'll embrace the freedom.
Yes.
And the challenge of choosing their own path through this narrative.
It's a reminder that even in literature, there's no one right way to experience a story.
That's so true.
It's all about finding what resonates with you, what challenges you, what makes you think differently.
Absolutely well said. This has been an incredible deep dive, and I'm so excited to finally experience the virtue of voices for myself.
I have a feeling you're in for quite a ride.
I think so, too.
Enjoy the journey.
Thank you.
And be sure to let us know what you think.
We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
See you next time.